Today on the Pastor Study, our lesson is entitled, Every Idle Word. Every Idle Word. Let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. And we're going to look at verses 36 to 37. And I'm sure you've read these verses before, but we want to pay attention to them today and explore them and see what the Word of God has to say. Matthew 12, verses 36 to 37, the words of God say, But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. My dear listeners today, God's ways are different than the world's, are they not? In Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9, we read this, For my thoughts are not as your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, the world thinks lightly of certain types of speech. But despite that, the Lord says to take it seriously, what we say. As we just read, amen, that every idle word that you and I speak, you and I are going to give an account to the Lord for. You see, your speech and my speech reveals what's in your heart. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 34, the Word of God says this, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Here it is, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart, amen, will come out through your speech, amen. Not only that, but your speech reveals your treasure. Your speech reveals your treasure. Is it earthly treasure? Heavenly treasure? Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, the Word of God tells us, A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. As we saw in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, we will be judged by what we say. We will give an account individually to God. We ought to give careful thought then concerning the words that you and I use. You see, we will be judged by God's standards and not the world's. I want us to look at idle words for which we shall be judged. Now, first of all, there are some obvious examples of unacceptable speech. One of them would be to take the Lord's name in vain. In fact, that's one of the Ten Commandments spoken about in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. Exodus 20, verse 7, Thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold himself guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I once saw a gospel tract that said, God's last name is not damn. Amen. How many times do we come in contact with folks that use the Lord's name in vain? And we as Christians, amen, that should not come forth out of any of our mouths, amen. Also, another example of unacceptable speech would be words that are evil. Words that are evil. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. Again, for he that will love life and see good days. If you want to love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil in his lips that they speak no guile. Amen. Another obvious examples of unacceptable speech would be lying words. Lying words. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, we have seven things that God hates and an abomination to him. And we read, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are of an abomination unto him. A proud look. Here it is, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So out of those seven things that God hates and an abomination to him, three have to do with our speech. Amen. Also, idle words which we will be judged will be deceitful words. Deceitful words. In Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 18, we read this, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And here we go, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Amen. And then another obvious example of idle words will be judged are filthy words. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 1, we read this, but be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And then in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We should be spending more time. Amen. What should come out of our mouths should be the giving of thanks to Almighty God. And not foolish talking, not filthiness or jesting. Amen. But giving of thanks. Some other examples of idle words that we'll be judged for are the overuse of words. The overuse of words. And Proverbs has some particular warnings about the overuse of words. In Proverbs chapter number 13, verse 3, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Amen. The more you open your mouth, amen, The tendency is you're going to sin. Amen. So we need to really work on that as Christians. Amen. To keep our mouths closed. Amen. And not always be wanting to speak and get our point across and so forth and so on. Of course, in witnessing we should, amen, but we do so many things, other foolish things, do we not? And in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, we read, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So, it's not the person that always has a lot to say, amen. But the person, even a fool, imagine that he keeps his mouth shut, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips, you know, instead of trying to always get in there, say something, even if it's not, you know, if it's just for the sake of saying something. Amen. So the less someone has something to say, they're counted wise and a person of understanding. Amen. Also, we need to, another example of idle words will be judged for is words spoken in haste. A lot of times as individuals, we need to think before we open our mouth. Amen. We need to think before we open our mouths. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, it says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. So before you give your answer, have your say, make sure that you have all the facts. Amen. Don't be presumptuous. Don't assume. Get all the facts. Hear the entire matter before you speak or you say anything. Because if you don't, we're warned, it's a folly and a shame under that individual. Some other idle words, examples of idle words that will be judged for, is speaking evil of others. Speaking evil of others. Particularly of those in authority. Amen. Now let's look what the Word of God has to say about that. It says this in Exodus 22, verse 28. Exodus 22, verse 28. It says this, thou shalt not revile the gods. Here it is, nor curse the ruler of thy people. And then in Jude verse 8, we read this, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. We're in a political climate with a lot of words going back and forth between political parties, between people, between families. Amen. Instead of demeaning someone in authority, a public official, amen, you may not agree with them or their policies. But what you need to do, and the Word of God tells us, you need to be praying and uplifting those individuals in position of authority. Not ripping them down, not saying mean and cruel things and considerably criticizing them. Amen. You need to pray. Pray for that person or persons in authority. Amen. Now, also some other examples of where idle words will be judged about will be words of flattery. Amen. words of flattery. Amen. Look in Psalm chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 12, verses 1 to 4. It says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said with our tongues, will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" Flattery. My dear friends, we shouldn't be flatterers. Amen. And be careful of those that always say flattering things to you. Because I'll know one thing, as from my experience in the ministry for many years, those people that are flattering things about you, watch out. Because those are the ones that'll end up and doing you dirty, or stabbing you in the back, or spreading false lies about you. Amen. You need to be very careful. So flattery, or idle words, that all of us will be judged for. Also, unwholesome words. Unwholesome words. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, here's a command from the words of God. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Amen. So, in other words, the use of euphemisms, substitute inoffensive for offensive language. For example, the words darn, shoot, gosh, gee. Christian cussing. Amen. That's what it is. In other words, they mean the same as the offensive words. They have the same wrongful emotion behind them. And what it does is it reflects an attitude of the heart contrary to the saint of God, and lead into unacceptable speech. Amen. Now, idle words become habits out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh, does it not? Now, let's look at some biblical guidelines for acceptable speech. We saw the idle words, some examples of idle words that we're all going to be judged, we're all going to give an account for. But let's look at acceptable speech. Biblical guidelines for acceptable speech. So, as we pay our attention again towards Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, we see acceptable speech is for edification. See, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer." But that which is good to the use of edifying. Edifying means to build up. Amen. Not rip down, but to build up. So acceptable speech would be to build the other person up, and I believe in the faith. You know, words of encouragement, Amen. Your testimony, how the Lord has worked in your life. Something that's going to build the hearer up in the faith, to draw close to the Lord, to trust in the Lord more. Amen. And then we see in that same verse is acceptable speech. It ministers grace to the hearer, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, if you think about it, a lot of what we hear in a lot of the pulpits today and conversation amongst Christians is not very edifying, first of all, and it doesn't minister grace unto the hearers. So you need to ask yourself, is what am I about to say, is that going to build someone up or rip them down? Is that going to minister grace? Amen. Minister God's grace to them. How do you come across when you're talking to someone's unsaved? Do you talk to them with an attitude of, I'm better than you, you know, like the Pharisee? Amen. I'm judgmental, you know, you're going to, even though it's true, if you don't get saved, you're going to split hell wide open. But we really need to revisit a lot of what we say as Christians. Amen. To one another and to the unsaved. Ask yourself, does it build that person up? Does it minister grace unto the hearers? Does it bring them closer to God? Or does it push them farther away? Other acceptable speech. Amen. Other acceptable speech would be words that cool down heated conversation. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, we read this. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. So you're dealing with someone that's angry. You certainly don't want to throw more fuel on the fire and answer that person with angry words. No, with soft words. Words that's going to diffuse that angry person, that's going to put the fire out. Amen. Well, you know, really, if you think about it, so you're in a, if someone wants to have an argument with them, with you, but you don't want to go there. You want to respond to them in such a way that's going to put that wrath out, that anger out. Soft words, not angry words. And sometimes you're going to have to, you know, suck up your pride. Even though you may be right, amen, you give the person some leeway. Amen. Also, words that are a delight to the hearer. We read in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Word of God says there's death and life in the in what you say, amen. A wholesome tongue is acceptable speech. Things, amen, that is a tree of life, that it, they'll encourage someone, amen. People listen to what you say. What you say may, and how you act may lead them to Christ. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, it says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is." A word spoken in due season. How good it is. At the right time. Amen. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. Amen. Also, our speech, acceptable speech, would be characterized by thankfulness. Amen. By thankfulness. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read this in verses 1 to 4. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Our speech should be full of gratitude and thankful to God. Should it not? Not any of the other things that our passage talks about. And that should be the attitude of the saint of God. Amen. Thankfulness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Colossians 2, 7. "Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Amen. Colossians 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God in the Father by him." And then in Colossians 4, verse 2, "Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving." Amen. And then our speech, that's acceptable speech, should be one with no murmuring or complaining. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." You can't shine as lights in the world if Christians are always murmuring and complaining about something. Amen. We should be thankful and grateful that we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that our sins have been forgiven, and that someday we will have a home in heaven. Amen. So, acceptable speech requires forethought. You see, the righteous will give careful thought to his speech. The righteous are concerned about what comes out of their mouth. And as we saw earlier, it reflects what it is in your heart. Does it not? Amen. Look to God for help while even accepting the rebukes of others. And as we read in Psalm 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Let that be our prayer and practice every day, my dear listener. Well, that's all the time we have today in the Pastor Study. Brother Gino, may God richly bless you, and good day.